So today we'll talk the two paths, the path of the sun and the path of the moon. So two verses will be done. So verse number 24 talks about the path of sun. Agnir Jyotir Ah Shuklah.
Agnir Jyotir Ah Shuklah.
Shanmasa Uttarayanam.
Tanmasa Uttarayanam.
Tatra Prayata Gacchanti.
Tatra Prayata Gacchanti.
Brahma Brahma Vido Janaha.
Brahma Brahma Vido Janaha.
Together. Agnir Jyotir Ah Shuklah. Shanmasa Uttarayanam. Tarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vido janaha. So the path of the sun are various gods, are the bright gods, and even it is said the people who are on this path that you will encounter will be wearing white clothes. So everything bright is the path of the sun. So what are the bright gods? Agni, fire. Jyoti, light. Aha, day. Shukla. Shukla means Shukla Paksha. So the month, in according to the lunar calendar, is divided into two sections. The Shukla Paksha is the waning moon, when the moon from zero, from the new moon, becomes the full moon. So those 14 days are called the Shukla Paksha. And then after the full moon starts waning, the next 14 days are called Krishna Paksha. So Shukla Paksha is the waxing moon and Krishna Paksha is the waning moon. So the first 14 days is called Shukla Paksha, when the moon is rising. And then Shanmasa Uttarayanam. Shanmasa, these 6 months called Uttarayanam, which is a very important part of our heritage. We'll talk about that. Uttarayanam. Tatra Prayata Gacchanti. One who gives up his body or her body at this time, in these 6 months, on the path of light, on the path of knowledge, on the path of wisdom. Gacchanti, where do they go? Gacchanti is the plural. They go Brahma, Brahma Vido Janaha. So these Janaha, these people who are Brahma Vidas, who are the knowers of Brahma. Brahmaji, this is the Saguna, because the 8th chapter talks about Saguna. The 9th chapter is which talks about Nirgun Brahma. The 9th is the star chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, which talks about the Nirguna or the formless. So those who know Brahma, the formful Brahmaji, the formful Lord, Saguna Brahma, they following this path of all these gods, fire, light, day, you know, the waxing moon and the Uttarayanam, these 6 months, they, when they give up their body following the path of the sun, they go to the Brahma Loka. So why are all of these mentioned, fire, sun and day and all? Because it is like when you are traveling, you know, when you are traveling, say you are going from here to Europe. And so what you do, you take a plane. So, you know, that American Airlines becomes your vehicle. Then from there, a car picks you up or a taxi and takes you to the hotel. So that becomes your abode. And then next morning, a bus comes. And the bus now becomes your transport and will take you to wherever you want to go for sightseeing, you want to visit different cities. So similarly, these are our vehicles. So that's why when you worship fire, in the olden days they used to do swaha offerings in the fire, or even when we do aarti every morning, we are asking the fire to carry our prayers. And also when you follow the path of the sun, these bright gods, the fire, the light, the sun, the daytime, all of those are your guiding forces are your travel agent. It is like your transport. So Bhagwan himself has appointed all these various gods to transport us. And what is the significance of Uttarayanam? First of all, we should find out who goes. We have already talked about that before. But the body perishes. The body gets cremated or buried, does not go anywhere. And then Om, the consciousness, is everywhere. So in the BMI chart, the body perishes, the Om, the consciousness, nothing happens to that. And also objects, emotions, thoughts, they all end, the OET. What gets transported is the mind, the intellect, propelled by the vasanas. So in the BMI chart, it is the vasanas, the mind and the intellect that then travel to other worlds, and then based on our good and bad deeds, we enjoy. So it is this individual who travels to Brahmaloka having followed the path of good, followed the path of sun. And the beautiful example is Bhishma. All of you have heard the story of Bhishma, but those who haven't, just to briefly mention, he was the grandfather of the Pandavas, the grandsire, and the Kauravas. He was of that family. He was the most senior member, very, very devout, very devoted, and very knowledgeable. Even though he sided with the Kauravas because he had lived in Duryodhana's palace, but in his heart he was very pure and very devoted to the Pandavas and also to Sri Krishna. He was a very great devotee. And he had been blessed with Ichha Mrityu. What it meant was he could decide the time of his death. Nobody could kill him but except he himself. And in the battle, when they asked him how you can be killed, he said you have to bring Shikhandi, because Shikhandi was a woman and he had pledged never to fight a woman. And so when Shikhandi came dressed as a woman, he was eunuch, man and woman both. Bhishma turned his back and stopped fighting. And at that time he surrendered. He said, yes, my time has come. He knew that it was time because he had already, you know, he was that wise. So he was shot by multiple arrows by Arjuna and by Shikhandi till finally he fell on the ground. He couldn't move. But he was lying on a bed of arrows for 58 days. Why? Because Uttarayanam had not started. So he was waiting for that Uttarayanam. The Uttarayanam is said to be from January to June. Some people in India believe January 14th, Makara Sankranti, is the Uttarayanam. There are different people. Some believe that it starts in late December. But whatever it was, when the Uttarayanam started, that's when he finally gave up his body. So he waited 58 days on this bed of arrows. And actually, he said Arjuna shot an arrow and from the ground water used to continuously come and wet his mouth. So that's how he survived 58 days. So the point is the significance of Uttarayanam. So it does not mean that a person who dies from January to June will go to heaven and from June to December will go to hell. That's not the point. The point is that one who is on this path of the higher growth towards the sun, towards fire, towards knowledge, one who has the right knowledge and who does upasana and karma, does good deeds and worships the Lord, and saguna, that is the one who goes to this higher path. And vairagya has to be developed. I have to slowly reduce my dependence on the world for happiness and find happiness in God. And these two paths were also very beautifully described in the Prashnopanishad, which Vimalji had done last year, where he describes the two paths as prana and rayi. So prana being the spirit or the breath and rayi being the matter. So purush and prakriti, the spirit and matter. So these are all ways of describing this path. So the path of the spirit, the path of purusha, the path of spiritual growth, the path of evolution will take us upwards. And those who are devoted to matter, you know, just to worldly things, you know, objects and all, sooner or later they will go downward. So that's why Bhagavan says, choose the path of the sun and do not choose the path of the moon, Because the path of the moon is repeated birth and death, and ultimately leads to suffering, because nothing is permanent. What we want is permanent joy. So that is the path of the sun, which takes us higher.